in Mussolini in 1922, I think, was surprised at the ease with which he had found himself suddenly catapulted into power. There was, despite the bravado of Mussolini, if one thinks about the public appearance of Mussolini, one sees him always standing on a balcony in Rome, addressing an enormous throng, quite literally pounding his chest. Mussolini was fond of showing his vigor, his manhood, by literally ripping off his shirt and pounding his bare chest in public. Despite this bravado of the later era of Mussolini's leadership, in these early days, Mussolini was cautious, torn between a desire to work now within the state which he found himself miraculously in charge of, and under pressure from more radical members of his own fascist party. In 1924, he was able to manipulate the electoral laws in such a way that the fascists would win a very significant victory. And 1924 would also be important for another reason. The Matteotti affair in the summer of 1924 would mark a major turning point in Mussolini's career and in the Italian state under fascism. In June of 1924, the moderate socialist leader Matteotti was assassinated. He had just made a speech in the Italian parliament denouncing fascist violence when he was set upon by fascist thugs and murdered. The murder of Matteotti provoked widespread outrage in Italy and abroad, provoking many to call for Mussolini's resignation and some sort of special inquiry set up to establish responsibility for this outrage. Mussolini's initial reaction, his initial inclination, was himself to take a moderate course, to assume responsibility, but to say, yes, this was excessive, he didn't endorse it, etc. But he was urged by others within the party to use this as an opportunity to press for the establishment of genuine fascist control. Mussolini chose the latter course. He chose to use the Matteotti incident to solidify his control and to radicalize his government. On January 3rd, 1925, addressing the Chamber of Deputies, Mussolini not only accepted responsibility, full responsibility for the Matteotti incident, but for fascist violence more generally. Indeed, he announced on that day his determination to bring about an utter transformation of the Italian state. Now the time had come for the fascist revolution. He began in 1925, then, to extend and then consolidate his power. He reduced the Italian parliament to a position of virtual powerlessness. He dissolved the labor unions and declared strikes illegal. He abolished all political parties except for his own, and he arrested opposing partisan leaders. He denounced democracy as a sham, weak and historically irrelevant, already crushed under the wheel of history, that liberalism had been the wrong turn for Europe, for Italy to have taken, and now the time had come to reverse course and to put Italy on the road, on the true road to progress. He would proclaim himself leader or duce, and created a network of fascist social organizations for women, for youth, fascist sporting organizations. One sees in Mussolini's Italy a development that would be followed by the Nazis in Germany, that is, to establish not only a system of terror, of police to oppress political enemies, potential political enemies, but also to establish a network of social organizations that would literally carry Italians from the cradle to the grave. Fascist organizations for women, fascist bowling organizations, fascist singing societies, choral societies, fascist opera leagues, in fact, established by the regime to reinforce the notion that fascism was everywhere, that it was central to Italian national identity.